To be strange. Hey, this is Alan Levine. I'm out here in the woods. We're getting the campfire started for the Headless DS 106 thing. I don't know what those Gifficron people did. They just went off the air. But we're going to roll on here because we're going to celebrate the end of Headless DS 106 and sit around the campfire, tell some stories, and just going to wait for the rest of the gang to show up because we're totally wired.
I'm totally wired. show. Last night, years dark and days light. I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness, I've known proves that it's right, baby, because you're mine. I walk the line.
Anything I will do for you. That's what happens in Days Number 6. This is Alan Levine by the campfire. Getting our supplies ready. And I'm going to tune up the open mics if you're in Skype. It's Todd Conaway. Dude. Such a loser, Todd Conaway. He's coming into you. Send me request. Can't believe I've never Skyped with Todd Conaway. He lives just down the road, but Todd's going to join us at the campfire. We have Joseph and maybe company in from Coventry. Hello, Joseph. Glad you could tune in. Where's Jonathan Worth, man?
Yeah, where is he?
I don't know. So I think David and Viv stepped out because they're transferring from his house. They have to. I've done this walk. You walk across a park to get to the Port of Call, which is their favorite local pub. So let's see. Waiting for Todd to send me. I wonder if I can find Todd Conaway. Conaway. Todd Conaway. There he is. He's the first one. Dude. Now, Todd, you just have to accept my request. Dude.
Dude.
Is that Colin guy dancing?
Absolutely.
Someone is looking for you. I don't know what that tweet means.
Oops. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, because Joseph is sending something to Jonathan.
Oh, okay.
To say, where are you? Like you just said, where are you?
Ah, okay. Boy, for some reason, I misunderstood my tweets with the UK people.
You misunderstood them?
Cultural
such a foreign language.
Okay, so Todd accepted my contact. I'm gonna add him to the call. Talkie Tina was trying to call me, which is the wrong protocol. I have to call you. Todd Conaway.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Good.
How's it going?
How are you?
Cool. I was just starting to hang out with a campfire for some visual to look at while I'm chatting.
that's a good idea.
Okay, you can do that. I've got some audio. Let me dial in. This Tina person seems to want to call, so.
Our true friend, she wants to join in.
Don't let that doll too close to the fire. She might burn.
Yeah, that would be a tragedy. Plastic is not good with fire. That's true. Hello, super true friend.
Hello, super true friend, Christina.
Hello, hello, person.
But I didn't get a box.
You didn't get a box?
No.
You came in a box.
You came in a box. Yeah, we thought you might.
You live in a box. I've seen your box.
I don't like that box.
Yeah, maybe we thought that it would be too much of a, give you bad flashbacks to send you a box. So maybe that's why you didn't get one.
You could put it in a bag.
A bag.
We could have sent you a bag. We could have sent you a bag, Talkie. Hello, nice to hear your voice, Talkie.
Well,
hi.
Nice to hear your voice, too.
Can you hear the fire?
Oh, there's the fire.
Oh, nice.
It's a roaring fire.
It is.
Like a lion. So, at the end of the year, like when, just before it's New Year's, the old man has a roaring fire. Like, goes out like a roaring fire and comes in like a matchstick.
Do you mean the guy in red?
No. I don't think. Sometimes when he's in the chimney, maybe he's on fire.
Well, that's very interesting, but we're here to talk about DS-106, not about chimneys.
Well, okay. Whatever. So,
but we're glad you could pull up a seat.
Just say hi.
Hi, and just pull up a seat near the fire so you're nice and warm. And everybody brought their sticks for marshmallows, right?
Yes,
yeah.
You all have the marshmallows.
Yes, I've got mine. I'm set.
Oh, well, it's nice to relax, you know, listening to that, what happened at the Gifficrome, you know, I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I mean, do you think that people even got their Gifficrome cameras or what?
I don't know. It was just so crazy.
Was it like a pinhole camera? You get in the box and poke a hole with a pin, and then that's what you see?
It was nothing like that. It was absolutely nothing like that.
No, you know, the Nano especially, I don't know how you could get in that box.
You need a tiny little knife. But Todd, as someone who tuned in, what did you think of the show?
I wasn't there.
You weren't
I
there?
I was not there. I wasn't there. I've, like, been absolutely nuts. No, here at work, I can't listen to DS-106 radio unless I stream it on my phone. And so it's data on my, it's not that big a deal, but it's data on my phone. The port is blocked here at the college, so it's just sad that way. So the radio's tough here at, I've never been a radio guy. I've only been on the radio in the presence of, like, Jim Groom and Alan Levine and,
you're here now. See, you're actually on broad. Feeding.
Yeah, but you're here too. That's what I mean. You're here too.
Yeah.
You
well,
know? So it only happens in the presence of other people. So
the radio goes on. Well, it was archived, so we do have a whole record. But there was some brilliant music by the Ink Spots. And just in all, I want to say I'm quite in awe of everything that came together for that because. Again, that wasn't even planned as part of the headless DS-106. A lot of DS-106 headless was not really planned, but it just emerged. Honestly, to sit back and look at that is pretty amazing.
Yeah, nice.
I was amazed that how it all came together, and it felt like you were hearing this story for the first time as all the different bits came together.
Yeah, there was a lot I hadn't heard yet. That's great. Yeah, it sort of came together. I got really busy this term and only was able to participate in the headless for like the first few weeks and then the last couple weeks. And I was sort of watching it from afar. And I remember at one point I said, I don't even know what this Difficrome business is all about. I felt like I had missed something, but
yes,
I hadn't really missed anything.
You missed that tutorial, I seem to remember you saying.
But see, the thing is, I hadn't really missed anything because it was just stories about it. That's what's so funny. I mean, that's what I loved about John's thing is that she willed it into being just by talking about it. That's exactly what happened.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
So how do you we decided to have this little session just to kind of have a little gathering and talk about the experience, and there's lots of ways we could go about doing that, but how do you go about explaining Headless DS-106 to someone else?
Are we all letting everybody else talk?
Apparently.
I think so.
Well,
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
That's a good start to almost anything, right?
Yeah.
In a galaxy.
When I'm trying to explain, because I'm trying to bring this into 3M and doing stuff in there, when I'm having to explain it, and even as I'm working with it to explain what DS-106 is, and I mean to even get into the headless is so much, but the about learning about doing digital communication, about storytelling, how to be more effective at communicating in the digital world, and so I'm learning a lot of tools. I'm teaching people how to do that with what's available right now, for us to do that.
Right. Yeah.
And I've actually spoken briefly at my university when I was talking about just open education in general and some of the things I've been involved in. I've spoken briefly about the headless DS-106, and I just tried to explain it exactly as it is. That the nice thing is that there was already the weekly announcements from a previous iteration of DS-106 that we could just build on. So. Then it was just a matter of having one or two volunteers each week to, maybe look over the announcement, a volunteer to do something that week. And even if they didn't, because they got busy, that doesn't matter, because it could run itself in a way. And that's what was so exciting about it, is that people just came up with ideas like, let's do this for this particular week. So Rochelle and I just decided to do a podcast where we talked about the audio that had been produced during the audio week. And then for these last 2 weeks, we were all supposed to be doing a final project. And I just said, well, I would like to work with people on this final project because I know I don't have time to do it by myself. And then Mariana said, well, let's do the Gifficrome. And it all just sort of came together. It really works because of the people who are in it, right? That you don't have to have any one person running it as long as you've got lots of people who are excited and creative and just take over stuff.
And just talking about people, Sally Wilson said, just tweeted to say that she's just tuned in for the wrap-up. Maybe to say something like, welcome, Sally. It's great that you tweeted back, but it's great that she's tuned in.
It is
definitely
great. Definitely. And I'm thinking a lot about, I've been saying I'm going to write a recap, and I guess it's going to be until after today, something that Mariana wrote recently has been along what I've been thinking about is one thing that made it work really well was that there was a wave of new people who came in and kind of had that, I call it the peak DS-106 experience, and once you've done that peak experience, I mean, mine was in spring of 2011, you can't really go at it at that same intensity. I mean, some people do, and Mariana and Rochelle came in during the summer compressed version, and so I think the longer headless one was a little bit of a different flavor. But I mean, once you've actually gone through and done a lot of the assignments, a lot of people do come back, and Mariana did a great job of like citing some people who were there at different parts of the DS-106 And that's all okay, but it's really, to keep it going, it's good to have these waves of people who come in new, and then people like Todd, who've been through the cycle many times, still come back and participate. Uh-huh. And so I think that cycle of people new to the experience is pretty important.
You know, somebody said that it was, you know, it's about the people or the community, and I think that's the play it gets out there currently on the talk shows, which is true. But I'll tell you, DS-106 is an awful lot like AA.
That's beautiful.
It's in a lot of different ways. I mean, I'm not
a DS-106er.
I'm not kidding. I mean, you know, it's absolutely true because it is the community that makes it work. There's kind of a shared vision. People come in and leave. They fall off the wagon or whatever and have to come back later on because they need another fix. But, I mean, it's true. You know, it's more – if you told a story about DS-106, you'd never mention the word school. Or you'd never mention the word course. You know, you could compare it better to the Boy Scouts or to a, you know, a bridge club than you could – or AA than you could – a class, you know, and isn't that great? I mean, it made the leap, you know, it did it successfully from, you know, structure to playfulness, getting out there a little bit to wide open and now look, and this is what's happened and good for it. You know, I think that's super, super good stuff.
Yeah.
I agree with the community aspect that is so huge. When I'm writing, when I'm looking at things, I'm thinking about who's there, who's not there, having them all included, whoever wants to be included. And I feel bad if I'm so busy, I'm creating or, you know, the real life, quote unquote, comes in, that I'm unable to read people's blogs, that I'm unable to really get in there and comment and be a part of it, because I do feel like this is a community.
Yeah, but Rochelle, and we have to, like, stand in awe. I mean, you're actually doing, like, two DS-106s. We're trying to repeat it for the inside. But also, I mean, the way you write up your works in terms of the detail and the explanation, those are like when I teach again, it'll be like the textbook models of how to, you know, write up not just what you created, but how and why.
Yeah, but you're going to scare them off. the amount of work that it takes to put in to doing that. Oh man, yeah. Writing up what we just did and what I learned and did during this week and a half, 2 weeks with this final project. It's going to take me another week to write the posts.
I know.
I know that. Sometimes when they're spending 3 hours writing up the hour I spend doing the video, but it's important. It is important.
It's important. Pre-wrote
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I pre-wrote a post on my blog on Tumblr about, I don't even remember what it was, one of the gifts I made or something. And I waited until, I scheduled it for tomorrow, I think, so that it wouldn't come out until after our launch, because it basically says, you know, I created this stuff. But yeah, I had to do it beforehand because I don't have time afterwards, and it took so long. I was like, I better just write this darn thing up and pre-schedule it.
It is really, I didn't think about it as being so important. It was just, we were supposed to do it when I was taking it during the summertime. I learn, it's a whole different mode, and I learn a lot. I end up creating more things when I'm doing it also to explain what I did.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, as a new person I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, Christina, because I loved your spider, and I put that one in as one of my best, of my headless best.
Thank you.
As my thing, because I just thought it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And but that would be an interesting, just in terms of, you know, because you wrote a wonderful post about it, the work that it took to actually do the thing, and they must have taken you, you know, it takes us, you know, sometimes half an hour, if we have it, to read a post and look at something and say, what a wonderful gift, and, you know, what a wonderful story. But it takes way, way longer than that to actually, you know, create that. And that is, I think, one of the key learnings I take away, that I used to, you know, love to see things and that you might just, you know, rush through. But actually, when you look into the how, so how long did that spider take you?
That's a good question. I actually don't remember. So
I conveniently forgot that part.
She was half asleep through the night, still making those eyes move
the way I want them to. Yeah, it was a very complicated process. And then the thing is, I got it done, halfway done, and my son was like, that's really boring, Mom.
He's been a great influence.
Our children wonderful.
Like, what? Couldn't you make the other eyes do something? Like, you only made two eyes move, and there's four eyes on that spider. So I went back and did some more.
Yeah, I guess the question I have is, some people get the value of doing that, but how do people, what's the understanding that people need to see that it's just not producing something that counts, but actually writing about it, and writing about a way that means sense to them, not because there's an expectation that there's a certain way it needs to be done.
I've talked to a number of people about this, and I think that one of the things that's happened for me just with this little, the model of DS-106, is that I've either re-understood or gained a greater appreciation for the potential for students to really create the class. And I mean, everything in the class, like all the tutorials, to create the textbook as they go, in a way. And, you know, especially with what Mariana's done or others. I mean, it was last year when people really did, Jim in particular and Alan, really pushing people to tell people how they got there, not just here's what I did when I got there. And that, I think, it for education of any kind is a huge, huge thing. Because in the old days, the textbook was the only thing because, you know, it was in the library or it costs a fortune and you that was the material. But anymore, with that information on the web, now the students can be the ones who get that and then create the explanations and the stories that go with the content of the course. And, you know, I just see this could be applied to any class at all. And I hope down the road that's something that comes out of what we've all experienced here.
It's pretty close to when I was at the event that Jim organized at UMW in October, David Wiley had this great little parable. He talked about the disposable assignment. And it's the kind of thing that teachers know that they're giving their students, that it's kind of a rote exercise, and the students know it. Everybody kind of plays this charade, but they don't really care about it. They're doing it because it's on the syllabus and it counts for their grade. And so, you know, he's kind of reframed a lot of the teaching he's doing, that his students are producing things. They're writing like their own textbooks, or it's the projects for people, you know, help create the material on Wikipedia and some of the DS-106 stuff. But, you know, to be honest, I mean, we know sometimes what goes on in a class when it's one of those assignments.
Yeah. Well didn't you, Alan?
And sometimes the assignments are not even, you know, it's not just for the your teacher and the students, but also sometimes if you are going for qualifications and things like that, you have to jump through hoops because it's the thing that's going to give you the bit of paper, the badge, whatever that might be. And that makes it, I think, adds a different dimension to saying that, you know, wouldn't it be lovely if we could get rid of the disposable assignments? Because sometimes in the way that our educational system works, what we are able to create here, it's difficult to create in more traditional institutions, I think.
You know what that was? That was Todd's ringtone. I love it. He's got Can You Dig It?
Yes. I want that ringtone.
It's been 3 years of nothing but that. It's pretty funny.
In lieu of the radio, I think the audio was kind of a peak. The group audio was really a peak experience. I mean, we had four really solid shows, and then I think we wore people out.
I just got really, really busy after that. It was not. It didn't have to do with being worn out, but it may be true for others.
Well, and I'm trying to, I mean, someone asked me, you know, whether there's going to be a course starting in January. And so, and I've talked a little bit to Rochelle about this, is a plan to take the assignments from the headless, which was still driven by that weekly schedule, and just have them out there as an ongoing syllabus. If people want a DS-106 experience, there is a course. And that can work, but at the same time, there is a lot of power in people doing the same work somewhat on the same time frame.
That's true. But it's great to have that as an option, just in case you want to do some work and you don't really know where to start. what would be a good order to do things in. But yeah, I think having the other people around at the same time, you get this really, you get this momentum and this excitement, and then you get the riffs that are happening that pop up overnight, which is what happened with the Alice and the mushrooms and the DJ animated GIF that you won't get if people aren't there in the same room.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hello?
Yeah? So, in a new year, then it will be the next.
What?
What?
You know?
No.
No, what did she say?
I don't know.
We do not know.
Why can't you hear me?
I can kind of hear you now.
Does I have to turn it up?
It's a little low and a little bit squawky. You sound kind of like a doll.
No, you...
Cutting out. It's out, friend.
Well, as she's trying to get herself together, the what I have seen, the there is, it may look like it's headless, but it's not. I mean, it's headless, but there's a lot of people behind the scenes who are helping to keep like a web holding environment in a sense to be able to make it. And it's not people just individually coming in. There is a community here that is, that you develop and are supporting each other, even if you don't hear them, even if you don't talk to them, just knowing that somebody else is in that energetic space of working on those same things, struggling with the same things you are, seeing somebody like when Mariana is working really hard trying to figure out how to do a GIF and I'm having difficulty with something else and watching, wow, she made it through there and she got it. And it's not just an anonymous person. I get to know Mariana and I'm pushing myself. When somebody writes up their struggles, writes it up. And it actually talks about their emotions. You know, they threw their computer out the out the window or whatever, or they deleted their files because they were so frustrated. I thought, oh, okay, all right, somebody else is doing the same thing I am.
I'm just going to read out. Seth has just put through a tweet saying, after the S headless, how about DS-106 as a Dungeons & Dragons module for cohorts that want to play it? I'm not quite sure I understand, but it seemed like important to read it.
Yeah.
I think he's suggesting that we frame it as a game, is he?
I guess. I don't play Dungeons & Dragons, so I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
So basically, what I'm understanding from this, and maybe Seth, if you're listening, you could tweet some more about it, that you could set it up in such a way that as a collaborative game that you could say, okay, you know, who wants to play with me? The stuff is out there. And if Seth wants to play with me and Rochelle wants to play and Christina, then the four of us, three of us, five of us get together and play.
A little cohort, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would be fun.
I think that's what he means.
And then you roll a 17-side die. That's
you
what
did
I know.
Assignment number 23-5.
Yeah.
Three.
Oh, yes. That would be good.
Oh, God. Could you imagine that you just get thrown an assignment and you have to learn whatever it is that comes up or a remix or something?
So are you suggesting like there be sort of a magic eight ball on the site that just randomly throws you, tells you to do something?
Yeah.
It could be done.
Isn't there one like
that'd
that
be you,
like,
Alan.
Yeah, the remix.
Yeah, but there was something else too, I thought. Just like show me a random visual assignment or something like that.
Yeah. Tom Woodward is listening, I think.
Seth says this might require a post description, but a framework that allows for different replays. And yes, there will be a 12-sided die.
Well, not 17. I like 17 better. That sounds cool.
Go with prime numbers.
And can somebody make a visual of it so that when we do it and it has sound, you click on it and it does some GIF moves and it gives you sound? I have to talk to John about that.
Yeah.
It should be like Thunderdome, where
Thunderdome.
Seven cohorts enter and one cohort leaves.
DS-106 cage match.
That's great. Said,
where are these
oh, like Hunger Games.
Yes.
Like but Hunger Games these... playing talkie.
Well, yeah, but that was a modern one. But the old one was Thunderdome. But I wanted to know, where did the other six runs go?
I think you don't want to know that. I think it's not a nice story.
Because if you use the stairs metaphor, I might understand.
I think they fell down the stairs.
Well, I can tell you that the daily crates will continue. I'm kind of intrigued by something that would randomly create something for people to do, which of course they're and I'm mulling. It's certainly possible to combine something out of the assignment bank or one of the weekly things or the daily crates.
But if you took the idea that Seth's idea and to actually create it as say, okay, who wants to play with me? Let's create a group. Let's name it and do it as let's do it together. Then you part of the game would be that the people who are your little cohort could pick assignments for you. You know, then they would be random to you because you wouldn't pick them. But you still wouldn't mean that you'd need to change anything from the way things are right now.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to think about putting it out there as a way that you could choose to do DS-106 and then how you decide to do your group. I mean, you could create a little Google community. You could create a group somewhere else. You could do it through a Google Doc. But how you figure out how to self-organize is on you. But
you could put something up front that would basically, have that people could sign up. So they go to the main site, they sign up to say they're interested in starting in January, say, for the sake of the person that said to you January, anybody else interested? A bit like when people catch lifts, is anybody going to the station on Monday? You know, that sort of thing.
Is anybody doing DS-106 on Monday?
That sort of thing. And then people could sign up in that way, and you could do that in one. Google Doc is a bit ugly, but maybe something nice.
Well, I'll be honest. Like, it's a great idea.
You rolled a dice, and you rolled it, and then it said what assignment your team had to do, and then it would go on a map.
Then it would go on
a map.
On a map.
On a map.
On a map.
And that would be part of your story.
You remember there was a
and then sorry. Back again.
There was a time when
don't step on the doll.
She's trying her best.
I can talk right when
doll is nonsense.
When she gets more upset, she gets more more scattered.
Oh, she's having technical difficulties, Todd.
Yes, she is.
Can't probably reach the microphone. No
problem.
All we hear is when she's jumping up to the microphone. Her mouth's getting closer.
That's exactly what's happening.
Trampoline.
Anyway, we've got another message. Whilst she's getting to the microphone, we've got another message from Jess saying that she loves the idea of the DS-106 game.
Well, so during the Summer of Oblivion, I remember, and I don't think Christina or Tina or Mariana, you guys probably don't remember Them Damn Joneses.
Nope.
But I tried to get a group of my colleagues here, and it was literally people right down the hall, faculty here at the college, to play roles in a fictitious family, the Joneses, right? And so I bought the domain, Them Damn Joneses, And I made them all, you know, editors or whatever, administrators. And I was, the plan was during, I think it was the Summer of Oblivion, was we were going to play together during that course as the Them Damn Joneses. And we were all going to be family members. And I got that, I think, from, I don't know, maybe it was the campfire, the other campfire one or something. But just like telling like a story of a band or a town or something, but where everybody kind of creates a character and they have to play that role throughout the whole time. Dr. Oblivion, you know, did the Oblivion from Swatham, did that during the Summer of Oblivion. And I thought that was a great way to go through the class, was just try to wrap all the content around some bigger story that played into the class, you know?
I think that's cool, yeah.
All right, well...
And I might try that one again, too, because that, you know, I learned a lot about WordPress at that point because I never tried that before.
Sounds good. We've got some requests, if you're in Skype, you know this, but Karen and Rhonda, who can't be here right now, revived the 3T's cooking show. So we got a little audio segment. So keep those ideas flowing about maybe how this roll of dice DS-106 might go. And sit back and enjoy. I think this has to do with cake.
And I unfortunately have to leave afterwards. So
okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you, Christine.
Loved it. This was great fun.
All right.
Thank you, Christina.
Hi.
Dream Cake Show.
Welcome to the 3 T's of cooking, where we explore taste, texture, and time, because we always have time for cooking and time for true friends. This is the show where we answer the big question, what's for dinner? We shrink your budget, but expand your taste buds. We're your hosts, Rhonda Jessen and Karen Bossy Young.
Thanks, Rhonda. Today we're going to discuss how to make a chocolate dream cake with strawberries as our final wrap-up for this season's radio show. This dessert is a perfect complement to Debrisner sausage stuffing with crown roast of pork. Your guests will just ooh and ah. And please remember to check out our website ds106.us for more cooking tips after the show.
Today we're going to talk about dreams and dream cakes. Dreams, both waking and sleeping, contribute to making our lives happier. So this cake is perfect for making your dreams positive. And the amount of chocolate should make every chocoholic's dream come true. Once again, we go to our fruit farmer, S. Freud, for the ripest and juiciest berries. Freud's strawberries practically burst with flavor.
This cake uses a standard chocolate cake recipe, so if you're feeling pressed for time, you could use a boxed mix. But since we always have time for cooking at the 3 T's, we're making it in the traditional way. Heat the oven to 350 degrees and grease and flour two 9-inch layer pans. Cream half a cup of butter, add 1 cup of cream cheese and beat to blend. Gradually add 2 cups of sugar, blending well, and add 4 egg yolks one at a time, beating well after each addition. Stir in 4 ounces of unsweetened, cooled, melted chocolate. We only use Jungian Dream Chocolate. It just melts in your mouth and gives great dreams. And now a word from our sponsor.
Love me.
Jungian Chocolate Dreams. Chocolate so rich, smooth, and creamy. It is just dreamy.
Love me.
Combine 2 1/4 cups of flour with 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 2 teaspoons of baking powder. Add to the chocolate mixture alternatively with 1 1/2 cups of pureed strawberries, beating well after each addition. Beat 4 egg whites until stiff but not quite dry and fold into the chocolate cake mixture. Pour into prepared pans and bake for between 35 to 40 minutes or until the top springs back when lightly touched. Cool on cake racks.
For the icing, prepare sliced strawberries to cover the top of the cake and insides of the cake. melt 2 ounces of semi-sweet Jungian dreamy chocolate and cool. Whip 3 cups of heavy cream with 2 ounces of cream cheese, 1 cup of icing sugar, 1/2 cup of Jungian cocoa dream powder, and the cool chocolate. Beat until stiff, and add 1 teaspoon of Jungian vanilla bean dream extract.
Once the cake is cool, slice each layer of the cake horizontally so you have 4 layers in all. Ice the cake using the dreamy chocolate icing, remembering to place the strawberries and icing between each layer. Top the cake with the icing and put on lots of strawberries. To finish the cake, decorate with chocolate curls. And that's it! Pair the cake with a nice Riesling or sparkling wine. As Fernando Pessoa says, look, there's no metaphysics on earth like chocolates.
We've hoped you've enjoyed another episode of the 3 T's of cooking, taste, texture, and time, because we always have time for cooking. Thanks for exploring DS-106 with us. I'm Karen Bossy Young.
And I'm Rhonda Jessen. Thanks so much for joining us, and remember to check out our DS-106 website at www.ds106.org.
They're such a good pair.
Yeah.
And it's a real recipe, right?
It is a real recipe. And I must find out where to buy Jungian Dreamy Chocolate so that I can have positive dreams. I want some.
Everybody does, I think. That's really cool. I'm glad they, you know, wanted to contribute something to this. And again, I think the collaboration on the audio was stunning this time around.
Amazing, yeah.
That's what Amber, I got a note from Amber, my daughter, and she wanted to say that about the audio. She said that all the pre-produced pieces sounded really professional. I love John's writing, and Christina's interaction with her son was perfect.
Yeah. But those are fantastic. And I think, I mean, we all know that just having that ability to put together something, the audio that's not just clips slapped together, but really pays attention to the affordances of audio is something that goes a long way.
And thinking about the story too, because Christina had done a longer interview with her son, and she didn't think it could be used. And I thought, oh, I can cut it, and I can do some things to make it work right. And I think about what is my story. What am I actually putting together? If I'm doing a video or different, like what I did for the 3M DS-106 and having 3 hours of audio to go through. What is the story that I want to tell? I think about that in my blog posts now. I think about that in even things that I'm just writing at work when I'm thinking about it. And that all came from my DS-106 training to be able to do that, to think about when you had said, Alan, about when you write a blog post that it should hold its own, that it is something in and of itself. In case anybody comes in and that's all they see, that should be a story, an event, whatever, document that holds its own. And I really do think about that. I think that's a valuable skill to have gained.
You know, that whole notion of reflection is so underutilized in most academic spaces, not only by students, students are not often told to reflect and make connections on things, but I think that teachers aren't either. Yesterday I was sitting with several of our faculty who participated in this little 9-week-long reflective writing thing, and they all were, every one of them, all 17, not one of them had sat down and reflected on their practice in writing in years in some cases. And yesterday somebody said that now, then this is after the fact, they think about writing this stuff all of the time. They think more about what they're doing just because they kind of practice that for a while. And you know, we're too busy doing the content and too busy taking the test to take the time to make that reflection a part of the whole experience, you know. And I think you're right. That's part of what is doing, happening when you write.
Hey, and it's just breaking news. Listen to this.
I mean, I shoot Gifford because there's nothing as reliable and as perfect. My name's Jonathan Worth, and I'm a professional photographer based here in the UK. I photograph people from the range from politicians to celebrities to family members, you know. And Gifford Chrome is my weapon of choice. It's absolutely a part of who I am.
No, if Jonathan wants to speak, I can call him and bring him into the show. So if you're out there, Jonathan Worth.
Yes, he is. He's called in. He said he's tuned in.
He's tuned in, but I don't know if he's in Skype. So I'll send him a ring on the Skype and see if I can get the...
Oh, no. He says, prepping tonight for tonight's class. Ouch. Goddamn Alan.
Me? I didn't even talk to the guy for 3 weeks. Quick, I know he's rocking and rolling.
I completely missed the entire Gifford Chrome thing, and now I've just been looking at it, and it's pretty amazing. And I think John Johnson's the whole notion of coming out of the frame is so cool. Whatever that layer cake or whatever.
You want one, Todd? Don't you? You better pre-order.
I do. I do. I know.
They're
I
on Amazon.
I get it.
So,
it was really a lot of fun to watch everyone come up with these creative ideas and just go with it and riff constantly. I was to try and keep up to put things on the site and to understand what was going. Man, everybody was just given so much, and we're 24 hours. We have people. I'm asleep and somebody's making stuff. So when I get up, it's like there's a whole bunch of stuff. And then I'm making things and then they get up and, oh, that was insane. How do I put all this and keep track of it? The names, the numbers.
It was totally emerging because, you know, and Rochelle did this great job of documenting, and Mariana did as well. What started out as trying to do an assignment just kind of mushroomed. And in some ways, Todd, It was a different kind of performance than Summer of Oblivion or Camp Magic MacGuffin, because those came from us when we were teaching. This came from the participants,
right?
This narrative.
Yeah, it's powerful.
You sound all echoey.
Who does?
Everybody. Did I do something?
Somebody has maybe an open microphone?
Not me.
Okay. Maybe. Should we blame Mariana? Or Talkie Tina?
We blame Talkie Tina.
Better now. I can still hear myself.
Yes, you are. You, Todd, you are all echoey.
I know. And I didn't click anything. Oh, I'm better now.
It's better now, yes.
And I did not click anything again, so it wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Don't not click anything again.
Yeah, it was probably that doll knocking stuff around. Hitting her head on the top of the table.
Oh,
or the under
it.
The table.
Stop it. One of the things that, I mean, picking up on your point, Rochelle, about the 24 hours, that I did learn, it was this the speed of information. If you take out the who is doing what and, you know, what elements of the story we may or may not be wanting to put forward, one of the things that happened as a result of the 24 hours, I think there was so much stuff going through that not only did we find it hard to keep up, but I think it was tough for people to join in because there was so much. And so, I mean, John said that. He said, you know, sometimes I might go into a meeting and, you know, come out, and then, you know, it's just a few hours, and then so many things have happened, and it's really difficult because everything is going so fast. And I did, you know, we did actually then say, well, let's just try and slow it down a little. But from a learning point of view, a reflection I have is about the sort of speed of information when you're wanting people to, you know, to join in into something. It's sometimes hard to keep up.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about how that's going to affect me at 3M, because we're trying to get, and we are a global organization, and how in the business world, how do we do that? So I was watching that same stuff. How do you allow people to come in and not be overwhelmed? How do you keep going? You can burn out really fast.
Jonathan is just oh blimey,
he's going to Kickstarter.
He's Jiffacrom going into Kickstarter.
They're well funded from a secret financier, I understand.
I did think about that, adding that into the whole mix, but I didn't get
that,
it.
That could have been something. We didn't even think about that. I mean, you could have done that with the Mozilla goggles as well, do a Kickstarter.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
And Jess is saying, good to reflect on the digital storytelling process around the cybernetic campfire, DS-106 mm-hmm. radio. I like alliteration today.
just slowly. Jiffy, Jess. Just Jiffy. But, you know, in some ways, I understand, yeah, it gets overwhelming. And there's some sort of balance which you can't control, where you feel like you can do what you can and then, mm-hmm. you know, do little bits. And we saw kind of a spectrum of participation. But that's part of what makes different a web narrative, is that there are threads that don't go anywhere. There are things that don't work out. Mm-hmm. There's going to be plot lines that contradict each other. And, mm-hmm. And frankly, for me, that makes it a little more interesting than it being one nightly, nicely coherent, well-developed plot.
And here is something I did not expect, but I really like. Jess is saying, awesome, I think Colin might well win the internet back from the cats. Yes!
That's good.
Frankly, I have to say the cats never had it. They just thought they did.
It's Colin Dog all the way.
He's the most photographed dog in the whole of the United Kingdom.
Well, he's the most photographed dog with Jiffacrom.
Certainly.
Yes.
Oh. Okay, all right. Present company.
Well, they're mates. They go, you know, they go out together.
Right.
Oh, there we go.
So, Rochelle, do you want me to play your some of your 3M highlights? Or do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I would. I would like you. That was, I think that they did a really good job of, you know, well, of course, I mix it to make it sound like I want it to sound. But this is what they, when I was mixing it, I was thinking about what did the people really want to say? Mm-hmm. What were the main points that they were wanting to tell me, like because they told me several times, and also make a theme that goes across it, what everybody was talking. And I felt this was a good summary, and they really liked it. Anybody who listened to it really liked it and were interested in you know, okay, I'm going to continue, and they felt like they were heard the way I put it together.
All right, and anything for people who don't understand what you've been
doing?
Oh,
yeah, okay. So what I did, I work at 3M. I am a business and technology analyst in the R&D department, in the R&D community there. And I decided that during this headless time that I would run it, a DS-106 behind the firewall using our particular types of software that we have available, the communication systems that we have available that are not very good. but that's what we have to do. That's what we have. And it worked. I had about 20 people who originally signed up, and then 10 that sort of were there, and 5 who were really very involved with what we were doing, making art. I was able to take their stuff, figure out what was non-proprietary, and put it on the outside in my blog and allowed people to comment. And that helped them inside our community to be, you know, to be more active with it. And Alan and Mariana and I are just submitted a paper to OER 14, submit them to abstract, to present this as a strong case study.
All right, so let me cue up the audio. Is this the audio from the video that you sent me?
Yeah, this is just the audio, yeah.
Okay, all right, so here we go. 3M people talking about their DS-106 experience.
My name is Justin Pepinelli. I work in the Corporate Programs Group in the EHS organization at 3M. My other role is as a technical collaboration chapter chair for Tech Forum. Do you communicate with other 3M people, or do you communicate with anyone? So if they answered yes to any of those, then I would say yes, you would find value. I think the class itself aligns well with the whole goal of the technical collaboration chapter and provides a relatively structured format for what I think is a difficult set of software to communicate, because there are so many different types of software that are available. Well, I think in general, the approach of using the software to learn it is what I've seen, and in my own experience, how I usually do it anyway, is the best approach. To see them, particularly in the DS-106 area, starting to use some of the technology like blogs and videos and animated GIFs, I think it was very impressive to see how quickly they went from not really using the software, but knowing that it was very beneficial, to using it and feeling comfortable providing comment about how they used it. So I think from that perspective, it was, I thought, a very successful training session.
This is Bill Dower. I work with the Communication Markets Division down in Austin, Texas. When I started, I was concerned because this isn't naturally my territory. I am an innovator, very comfortable with new things, but the technology set has moved a long way. When I started with 3M, we didn't have email. Coming into this, I'm actively looking for a way to reach back out of the little box that I live in to get a hold of folks who have information, skill, and technology that would help me do my job better. It's just a question of reinterpreting, how can we take the skill that we have and use it instead of just to generate technology, but rather to find a way to be better communicating across boundaries. Those folks who are disconnected, you know, with time zones and language and cultural barriers, this type of activity has to be part of how we pull them into 3M and equip them with the ability to connect. Folks who are thinking about whether they'd be interested in doing this, I'd encourage you to participate, because even if you only get a couple of weeks' worth of input into it, you're going to learn something valuable. This is a matter of take a few tools, learn to use them, put them in your toolbox. If you have a tool, you will find yourself using it. It's always good to be able to add tools to your toolbox. And this is a good way to pick it up. It's totally up to you how much you want to put in, and how much you get out will depend on how much you can put in. It's well worth sitting in on a couple of episodes and seeing how it feels. And those episodes could be in the middle of the class. It's not like you have to get everything in order to get the next piece.
My name is Jenna Sander, and I am an analytical chemist in the materials characterization group. A lot of these things I didn't exactly know. I couldn't see how it would be applied to my job, and I've had quite a few things that directly applied to my job that I had no idea that would be something that would even be possible. So I would say just go for it. You might be surprised. It just opens your mind to a lot more possibilities that are out there that you can't think of now, but you at least have that in your toolbox. I love having a full toolbox. This gave me an opportunity to not only do learn some of the 3M systems, but also some systems that might be beneficial in my personal life as well. And so I've definitely found that that was the case, that I've been able to both enhance my work life and enhance my personal life as well using these new tools. Through Herbert, I got the information about the Cam Studio to record as you are working on the screen. And that was really useful when I was doing the Tech Forum bylaws presentation, so that people knew what bylaws changes we were going through. So that was really helpful. It's been great to do it in conjunction with 3M systems, and so that I can immediately apply it to my job, and then I can participate as much as I want or not want, which is really great too. So that I can something that I can like learn and dip my toes into. And I think each of us took away a different part. And so that I think that's important too, is that not everyone got the same thing out of it, which is great, but it all needs to be there, because you just never know what little thing might spark something and somebody else that, you know, ends up being a crucial point, you know, to their jobs.
One of my goals, in addition to learning collaboration techniques, was also to network with other 3Mers and learn about different parts of the company and just make connections around the company. And you, the class certainly fulfilled that. You know, I was fine about the things that I had learned and what I had done, but I also didn't feel bad about walking away from it just because I knew that it didn't actually suit my purpose. So yeah, I think you're right about being clear about what you're there for in the beginning. So, I mean, I certainly didn't feel bad about stepping out. It was a very valuable opportunity and really allowed for me to connect with some people and learn some stuff. So I appreciate it.
My name is Matheson Ong. I work in 3M Unitech. It's located in California. I wanted to get to know 3Mers who's located in St. Paul. Basically, not just St. Paul, but anybody outside of my own division over in California. For me, when I took the DS-106, it's more about having an open mind and trying to look at how other people communicate, especially with using the digital skills or digital tools, I should say. Well, I try to use all the skills in everyday, I guess, you know, daily tasks. When I do presentations, when I kind of draw out some sketches for my ideas, or when I try to think through a process flow. Now that I have taken the DS-106, something came together for me. It was the fact that nowadays we have so many communication outlets. Especially in the digital world, if you want to say that, the communication in the digital world going to happen with or without you.
Oh, check, sorry. I turned on my own microphone. You didn't hear me panicking. So that was really brilliant. And of course, now you have the video that hopefully you'll get to share, Rochelle. And I think one of the favorite bits, and you told me about this when you shared the video, was how your participants had decided against using their official portrait, their image, and instead submitted a personal photo.
Yes.
Says a lot about that experience.
I didn't realize that I had given you the file that didn't have the music and all that kind of stuff, but it was nice to just listen to it just plain.
Yep. Yeah, very good. So the campfire might be burning down a little bit. It's been a long run for us.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, I'm glad you could join us. If you're
he said, I saw it typed in here, he has a visitor. Have a visitor.
Okay. I was going to tell him this is the way that I could help him listen to DS-106 radios. I could funnel it through Skype for him, but I'm not going to offer that as a service. but I think, thank you both incredibly. You both put a lot of time to this, as did a lot of other people, and it's just been an amazing thing to see unfold.
And Jonathan and Seth and Jess and Sally that, you know, have actually hung in there and have been listening to us as well.
Yeah, I have to say, I've seen Sally's work periodically pop in, and she quietly does a lot of DS-106 work.
Doesn't she? It's wonderful.
and Jess's contributions as well. You know, she goes through her cycles of being busy, and. I really hope there's some way we can keep getting this notion out that people can choose these different levels of participation and not contrast it to some notion of dropping out or not being part of it. So anything you do in DS-106 is a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jess, Seth, and I are already planning a January game, so I don't know if anybody wants to join.
That's a good thing. This is what I know is going on with DS-106. There is no UMW course in the spring that's doing it again, like this time around. I am going to reformat the headless syllabus to be available, but I am not going to nurse it along. But I am teaching an online version of DS-106 starting in mid-March. It's going to be a 10-week course that is being run for a program at George Mason University. So there'll be an opportunity to follow along with that if people want to. And of course, the other stuff will just happen as it does.
Tom Woodward just tweeted that clearly I don't do anything I don't want in DS-106.
And Tom is just, Tom is a force. Many of the things that you see in DS-106 kind of were ideas that started with Tom. So the assignment bank was one of his brainstorms, the idea for the remix machine. And some of the first, Say It Like Peanut Butter, which is assignment number 2 in the assignment bank, and one of the most popular ones was Tom's. And
is the George Mason deal open? I mean, are you going to feed it into the DS-106 site? Or
yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to have them, create blogs and do. There'll be some different variations because this is a grad certificate program. I'm looking at some changes, and it's a shorter time frame. It's 10 weeks, so some things may get. Moved off of the list.
It now sounds like we have a roaring fire, perhaps a or a tornado coming in. Oh, now it's gone.
I was thinking we've sought shelter. Is Toki Tina burning?
Yeah, she's running in circles around the room. It's the heater in my room in Arizona, nonetheless.
Jeez. Dude, it's like 70 degrees outside.
It just barely made it over zero here today.
It's actually 63
here.
Man,
it's so nice out here. But the heater, I believe it's the heater. Like, I hope it's not the air conditioner because it is like 40 degrees outside, 50 degrees.
Oh,
but it's loud.
Can we just say something? Because I forgot about Joseph from Foner. He's been listening through all the time, mm-hmm. and he's just tweeted to say, first time listening live, DS-106. It's been great, guys. For life.
That's wonderful.
Good. Joseph is a great guy. I got to meet him too when I was over there.
Did you?
He's one of Jonathan's students.
Yeah.
And Jonathan has, he's a force of his own and his own show. But he
show off photographer trying to be the face of Jifficrome and wondering swanning about with our chief executive. I'm not having it.
Well,
I do want to say that before we go off about Jonathan being willing to play with us, putting all his stuff up there as, Creative Commons that we could, inviting all of us to remix and allowing us to do that in Cory Doctorow and the pictures that you had taken, Alan, that's what got it started for me to put things together, and I was having fun with it. And Jonathan gave us the endorsement. He allowed us to put his picture up on there. You know, what if somebody actually finds this site and thinks this is real or something? And I just want to say very much thank you, Jonathan. That was really great to be able to have this opportunity.
Well, he has such a beautiful face. He should be on the front.
He does. He does. That picture looks really good on there. You did a great job with the camera, and that I had those two that I could go back and forth with him coming out and doing peekaboo. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Can you find his endorsement to see us out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because it was awesome.
Yeah.
I have it right here. I just... I just played it before. Okay, here we go. And then I'll go out with the ink spots.
Okay. Good.
See you guys. Good work.
I mean, I'd rush you because there's nothing as reliable and as perfect. My name's Jonathan Worth, and I'm a professional photographer based here in the UK. I photograph people from the range from politicians to celebrities to family members, And Gifficrome is my weapon of choice. It's absolutely a part of who I am.
It's absolutely a part of who he is. So, oops.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
The Gifficrome Radio Hour is brought to you live from the Gifficrome Radio Theatre in Strawberry, Arizona.
I love those ink spots, wherever they mm-hmm. are.
That's awesome.
All right, DS106 Radio. Thank you, my radio friends, and everybody who's maybe listening. One more time, we have to say in unison. DS106 Radio for life. Ready? One, yep. Okay. Two, three. DS106 Radio for life.
For life.
That was horrible. See ya.